to episode number 2 of the Reverend Babble podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
And this is Neil Huntley.
And we're just so happy to be back and looking forward to what this episode has to offer. I was really happy with how last week went, and it's just basically all kind of going uphill from here. So what's going on, man? What's new with you?
Nothing much, man. Just hanging out. Happy to be back. People said nice enough things to want us to do this again, yeah. Right? We got some really good feedback on, you know, what was good and what we can work on a little bit, and hopefully we can work those kinks out today and this week, and from here on out we might have a pretty decent podcast coming out, right?
Oh, for sure, man. I mean, it's like I'm just really happy with the way we've kind of gone about doing this. I'm looking forward to seeing what we can kind of improve on.
Yeah, absolutely. But with that being said, we are back.
We are back, Jack.
Episode 2, Reverend Babble, live in the studio. We can't say what we said last week. I looked it up after we were done.
Yes, live, it's copyrighted, unfortunately.
In the studio in Viva Marsh, Vegas, home of the Randy Travis.
Of the Randy Travis.
The Randy Travis in Sweet Union County, God's country.
God's country.
What's new with you, Cody?
Honestly, man, it hasn't been too awful much. Just kind of seeing the feedback that we've gotten from the podcast and just seeing different things that we can get better at and just kind of improve on. And I actually started my summer classes for college this week.
Oh, sweet. And what college is it?
Stanley Community College.
Oh, yeah. Good old SCC, right?
Yeah, good old SCC, man. I've just been kind of working on, you know, different classes so I can get my degree and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. Have you decided a major yet?
That's the part I'm still trying to figure that out.
That's okay.
I know it's what everybody says, but, but hopefully here soon I'll get that figured out. So, Neil, what's new with you?
Well, for starters, last week I started a podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I helped start a podcast.
Yeah, right? Well, hey, yeah. It's all good.
So that's one thing new. Another thing new is trying to plan a thing for mine and Amber's anniversary coming up. It's coming up next week on the 26th, our second wedding anniversary.
Second wedding anniversary.
Yep, so we're trying to make some plans for that. And another thing new, my son, Graham, we've been going over animal sounds with him.
Ooh.
He looks right at horses and goes, nay.
Nay.
And this afternoon when I went home to change clothes after work, I said, hey, Graham, what's a bear sound like? And he said, bah. So he can talk a little bit, and he's getting pretty good at his animal sounds.
Wow. Yep. Well, that's awesome. That sounds like a pretty fun week.
It's been pretty eventful, and I'm excited to be back here in the studio and to get this rolling, and it's going to be fun. And with that being said, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive right on in to our double play Devo, and I think y'all are going to like this one.
Hey, and welcome back. So, what do you got for us on the Double Play Devo today there, Neil?
Well, before we get started on Double Play Devo, I just wanted to say real quick while we do this, we are a sports podcast.
Yes.
We're also a Christian podcast.
Absolutely.
That's in our name, Scripture and Sports, for y'all that are new to the podcast and didn't watch it or listen to it last week. We both love talking about sports, but we both love talking about Jesus, too. And we wanted to use this platform to, you know, further God's kingdom and give you all a little sense of encouragement this week. If, you know, maybe you're not at church, or you're not involved in the church, and just this little segment can maybe, you know, give you some encouragement and get you to, you know, want to dive into Scripture more, want to talk to God more, and just, you know, help your daily walk. So with that being said, we'll get right into it. Today, I want to talk about changes. So last week we talked about the new normal, right?
Right.
And how once things are back to normal, it'll be a new normal. It won't be just like it was before this whole pandemic. So I just want to build off that saying, you know, life changes.
Oh, absolutely.
Every day, right? And as we get older, we get more and more changes. You know, sometimes it's like schools, work, maybe teams we play on. You get older, it's, you know, your hair gets grayer. You know, stuff don't look the way it used to. But life changes. Life may change. God doesn't change. God doesn't move. And I'm not saying that like God's a couch potato hanging out on the couch watching ESPN all day. God doesn't move, as in God doesn't change. God's always here, right? And God is always right here beside us, right? Sometimes we may stray far away. We may be in a dark hole in life with sin, or we might be right next to God, walking hand in hand. We're the one that moves. God doesn't move.
Right, and for us as Christians, that's something that we can always kind of put our faith in and just kind of put that trust in, that even though we change and the world as we know it all around us constantly changes, God never changes. He's the one constant in a world that's ever changing.
Exactly, and we see that in Scripture too. So, Cody, what do you have for us in Scripture today?
Well, whenever you brought up this topic to me to talk about on the show, I was kind of looking up a few verses about how we change but God doesn't, and just verses that are kind of like that. One of the verses that I found was in Isaiah chapter 40.
Okay.
And it's verses 6 through 8. And it says, "The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever."
I have a personal preference in liking this verse because it talks about grass. I mow grass. I like grass. And I just thought this was a really cool correlation. What's the other one you got?
The other verse that I thought was pretty cool, and I think both of us really liked for this topic, was Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. And it says, "Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever."
Amen.
"Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not provided those who have been occupied with them."
I love these two passages of Scripture, Cody. You know, God shows us amazing things, and all we have to do is open to the Bible and look at it. You know, it's right there waiting for us to find, and I love that we can find things like this. But, you know, just going back to that Isaiah thing, the Isaiah verse, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." That means there's no beginning, no end. It's just he's here, right?
He's here.
He is. He's not was, or he's not will. He is. He's always is.
Right. And and plus, you know, there are several verses where Jesus or God just says, "I am."
Exactly. And I know you've heard me say this analogy, metaphor, whatever it is. My wife's an English teacher. She will probably correct me when she hears this. This form of imagery, this quick story. You've heard it in youth group. Our students have heard it in youth group too. But it's perfect for this kind of devotion. So there's a married couple, right? They start out, you know, newlyweds, that lovey-dovey puppy dog love phase, right?
Yeah.
Where they just can't get enough of each other. All they're doing is hopping in the truck, going to the grocery store, okay? The husband, he's always driving. They're in his truck, so he's driving. And the wife is sitting in the middle seat right next to him, okay? And they're just loving life right beside each other. As the years go by, she slowly starts to scoot over a little bit towards the passenger side. Just slowly but surely, there starts to be a little gap in between her husband and her when they're riding to the grocery store. Until 20, 30 years later, she's all but leaning out the passenger window, okay? So he's over there driving. She's all the way on the other side of the truck, leaning out the window, and they're both not talking to each other. And finally, she turns over and says, "What happened to us? We used to be, you know, hand in hand, sit right beside each other, and now look at this space in between us." The husband looks at her real quick and says, "Well, I'm driving. I can't move." She moved, right? He can't move, because if he moves, they're going in the ditch. So think about that as being like us and God.
Right.
You know, as Christians, we are the bridegroom, right?
Right.
We're the ones that move. God's driving, okay? He can't move. He's the one that's in control. We're the one that moves back and forth. It's our decision whether we move closer to God or further away based on our actions. You know, if we keep sinning and know that we're doing that, we're just moving further and further away. If we know that we need to do better, we can improve that. We can be in the Word. We can pray. We can be at church. We can be involved in church. We can be involved in missions. But we can move closer to God, right?
Right.
Every day we either move closer or we move further away. There's no in between. So we have to make sure that we're better each day the best we can. And, you know, he's not expecting perfection from us, right? He just needs us to admit that, you know, we can't do this on our own because we're not driving. Without him driving, we're just in the ditch.
Oh, man, that's an awesome way to think of that for sure. And whenever you told me this analogy or whatever it's called, please forgive me, Amber, as well, if I messed that up. But whenever I heard that story for the first time, I just thought that was a really cool way of looking at that. And it's like God's never changed. And we're the ones who have to choose whether we can or whether we do draw closer to him or if we just stay as far away from him as possible.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where I heard that story from. I know somebody told me it years back, and if you're listening to it and it was you, tell me, let me know, because thank you, because that I think about that all the time. But I love that connection with that story, and you know how awesome God is and how he never changes.
Well, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be back with some sports.
All right, sweet. Welcome back. This portion of the show, we like to talk sports, and it's called the Weekly Score. Cody finds some stories, I find stories, and we just sit down, talk about them like a normal conversation.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you got, Cody?
All right. Well, the first story I got, and for people around here who are mostly Panthers fans, like Neil, yourself.
Yes, I am. Keep pounding, baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll find this story at least a little bit interesting. The Los Angeles Chargers head coach, I just about said San Diego.
Well, they still should be the San Diego Chargers.
Absolutely, but
they're playing in an MLS stadium.
Yeah, I know.
That's filled with mostly of the other team's fans.
So
they should be in San Diego.
Yes, they honestly should. And, of course, I grew up, they were always in San Diego, so it's just weird for me to say that. Anyway, aside, Los Angeles Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn actually said that he did consider signing former Panthers quarterback Cam Newton.
The Cam Newton.
Super Cam.
They considered it,
but they ultimately did not sign Cam Newton.
Why?
Well, according to Anthony Lynn, from the following quote, he feels, quote, really good about the quarterback room that I have.
Okay, time out. Let's talk about his quarterback room real quick. We have Tyrod Taylor. No hate on Tyrod Taylor, okay? He's a good backup quarterback. He played great, you know, in Buffalo and other places he's been. I know he was a Virginia Tech Hokie. So, no hate on that, okay? We're getting there. Who else do we have in there?
We have Easton Stick, who went to North Dakota State. He was Carson Wentz's backup, for those of you who do not know who Easton Stick is.
Easton Stick. That sounds like a baseball bat. And who else do they have in there?
And they just recently drafted Justin Herbert out of Oregon with a 6th overall pick in this past NFL draft. So those are the main three quarterbacks they have on the roster. And I guess after having those three quarterbacks, Anthony Lynn just felt that he did not have to have another quarterback on the roster with those three guys already.
Well, I mean, I guess that's fair. I guess, you know, you're comfortable with what you have. And I'm leaving personal bias aside. I know Cam's coming off of injury. I know, you know, Cam's not what 2015 Cam was. Even a couple of years back before he got hurt against Pittsburgh, you know, that was a great year that he was having. He was having another 2015 MVP caliber
year.
And then
he was having a great
TJ Watt knocked the snot out of him. And then after that, it was done. And then, you know, I was at the game last year, his last game as a Panther, you know, when he was playing Thursday night against the Bucks, and he barely did anything. He did not look like himself. So it was sad to see that be his last game and him not get another chance in the Panther uniform.
Oh, for sure, man. Absolutely. Although Coach Lynn did not sign him, he did have another quote. He said, quote, Cam's going to be on somebody's roster. He's going to help somebody win a few games. So with that quote being said, obviously, the Chargers aren't going to sign him.
Yep.
But
X that out.
Right. But who do you think would be a good fit for Cam to be on? Which team?
You know, everybody's saying Patriots. Right.
Right. There's just a lot of media out there saying Patriots.
I think that's just an easy thing to say. One that I've heard about a lot, especially on Charlotte sports radio, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers, really?
Now, you know, it came out a couple weeks ago that Cam did not want to sign to be a backup. Right. It seemed like he wanted to wait until either there were some cuts or until there was an injury, maybe, and then he, you know, come in and get the job done. But that wouldn't be a bad spot to go, at least for 1 year, to be Big Ben's backup, because he's already said, Big Ben's already said he's retiring after this season.
Right. And potentially if Big Ben were to get hurt again, which he did last year, so there's always that possibility that he could again. Cam could go there, be the backup for one season, and then after Big Ben retires, he could potentially take his spot.
Yeah, Big Ben, he's got some, he's got something to prove this year, because, you know, he's coming off Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, which
you don't
is,
hear much of football players.
I was about to say, but that's usually reserved for baseball players.
Exactly, and, you know, that was a very gruesome injury that he had last year, and, you know, speaking of Big Ben, I'm glad he decided to shave that beard.
I am 100% like happy. Oh my goodness. I was so happy when I looked on the news and I saw that he had shaved that thing, man. I was thinking he was kind of looking like, I already know what you would say he looked like, but he just looked bad.
But yeah, but the Steelers would be a good place for Cam. I think that would be an awesome place for him to go. What about you, Cody?
Honestly, personally, I think he would be a good fit on the Giants.
Giants.
Yes. Now, I know they don't have the best overall players to throw the ball to as far as a receiving core, but he, to be honest, didn't have that in Carolina either for the most part.
True.
But the reason why I think the Giants would be a good team is because they have Daniel Jones, who is a young, very unproven quarterback. So I think Cam, if he wants to play now as a starter, I think he could have a pretty good chance to overtake Daniel Jones in the starting spot, unless the front office of the Giants just is completely committed to Daniel Jones.
Do you know who runs the front office of the New York Giants? Dave Gettleman.
I know.
That's just a scary name to even mention to Panther fans, Dave Gettleman.
So I know.
There's no telling what that fella's going to do.
Right. Well, plus the fact that he didn't really give Eli Manning a proper send-off is kind of a shame. I just think in terms of a fit, he would fit well in the Giants because they have a good running back in Saquon Barkley. He could potentially fit well there as well. Just from a quarterback and just from a team standpoint, I think he could fit. As far as a business standpoint, I don't know if it's going
to
work.
We'll see. You know, he could go anywhere. And if he gets back to his 2015 form, if that is a possibility, watch out for whatever the team he's on. He took the Panthers to a Super Bowl with Philly Brown and Ted Ginn Jr. as his two receivers.
And Jericho Cotri.
Jericho Cotri.
A very old Jericho Cotri.
And he caught it, Super Bowl 50. Cotri caught it. Don't you ever forget it. What else you got for us?
One other story I have is everyone knows who Tua Tagovailoa is, but maybe you don't know who his younger brother is, Talia. He was also a quarterback at the University of Alabama. He was a backup to Tua. He was a freshman last year, and he announced last week or a couple weeks ago that he was going to enter the transfer portal. And just a few days ago, he announced he was going to transfer to the University of Maryland.
The Terps. Speaking of transfer portal, I always wonder what that looked like. You think it's just a black hole, they just hit a button and they just jump in, and all of a sudden they're like at the school they want to be at, or what?
I would hope so because that would honestly be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
When I think of the word transfer portal, I think, all right, I'm going to Maryland, bloop, and then just show up and just walk through. Hey, coach, how you doing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at least once. I've definitely thought that at least once in
exactly.
all, for sure.
Well, did he give any explanation why as he chose Maryland? Because, I mean, when you think Maryland, you know, they're in the Big Ten. That's a tough football conference. They left the ACC to go to the Big Ten. So what did he give a reason why?
Well, there is a connection between the Tagovailoa family and the head coach of the University of Maryland, Mike Locksley. He used to be the offensive coordinator at Alabama in Tua's first couple years.
Oh, okay, cool.
As the quarterback for Bama. So he used to be part of Alabama's coaching staff, and he got the job to be Maryland's head coach, so I'm sure that played a big part as to why Talia transferred there.
Yeah, maybe so. That sounds like that would make sense. From what we've did some research before we started the show, you know, Alabama's got plenty of quarterbacks on their depth chart.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm not too sure about Maryland's depth chart, but I know they haven't had the best stats when it comes to quarterbacks in recent years.
Yeah, as far as stats go for Maryland quarterbacks last season, they had a 32.9 quarterback rating, which out of teams in Power 5 conferences was the second worst, right behind Northwestern.
Ooh.
As the second worst quarterback rating in Power 5 conferences.
If you're ever behind Northwestern in football stats, hey, that ain't good.
That is, no, that's definitely not too good at all. But also, as far as Maryland's quarterback situation goes, this was probably good news for Maryland because they only have two other quarterbacks on their roster as of right now heading into the 2020 season, and they did not receive a quarterback commit in this senior class and so far next senior's class.
Oh, wow. So, I mean, this could be a, you know, a blessing. This could be a win-win for both parties, right?
Oh, sure.
For Tagovailoa, you know, maybe this gets him out of his brother's shadow because, you know, Tua's going to be remembered at Alabama for – you know, years to come.
Oh, for
this
sure.
This gets him out of that shadow where he can go to Maryland, where those, you know, very colorful uniforms.
Yeah, very colorful.
And do his own thing, and maybe it'll work out for him. We'll see.
Right, for sure.
What else do you have for us?
All right, one final story, and obviously I'm a baseball guy, as most people know, most people who know me know. This is a big story between the MLB and the MLB Players Union. There is a big dispute, if you call it, right now, of how MLB players are going to get paid for this upcoming season. Obviously, it's still up in the air as to how long the season will be and
right.
the kind of the main details of how the season will go. But as far as how players are getting paid, some MLB players are not too happy with the way they might be paid this season. See, back in the end of March, there was an agreement made between the MLB and the MLB Players Association that all MLB players' salaries for the 2020 season would be prorated. The MLB players and the MLB agreed to have prorated salaries for the 2020 season, and there wasn't any issue with it. Well, last week, the MLB had an offer for the MLB Players Association that they would also split 50-50 revenue with the MLB owners and the MLB players as far as revenue for the 2020 season. And MLB players didn't like that too much. Now, it's not just 50-50 revenue of their current salary. It's 50-50 revenue on top of the prorated salary that they had.
Yeah, that's when it caught my attention when I saw the 50-50 split because I knew that was not going to happen.
No, I mean, it's like, and there have already been a couple players that have expressed their displeasure, such as Rays starting pitcher Blake Snell and Philadelphia Phillies outfielder Bryce Harper have already expressed their opinions about this whole situation. And just to say it lightly, they are not too pleased with this proposal. Now, it hasn't gone through yet, and I don't think it will go through just because of the pushback that these players have had towards it, but all of this is kind of giving baseball an even bigger black eye than it already has.
Yeah, no, you know, they've struggled in years past with stuff like this. You know, they had the strike in the 90s.
Yeah.
And they had the steroid stuff, and now this is coming up again. I think if they have another strike, it's going to be pretty hard to recover from.
Well, not to mention the Houston Astros scandal. That
hold on, where's the trash can? Hold on.
Fastball, fastball, fastball.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yes, yes, that's definitely still something that's on a lot of people's minds for sure. Yeah, but overall, though, including that, just along with the other things that we just talked about, the MLBs has had to deal with a lot of different scandals, and they've just had a lot of stuff that's given them a black eye. So this is just another summon that they're going to have to eventually just push through and get over with if they want the season to start.
Yeah, both sides need to loosen up a little bit. I'm usually, you know, a pro player guy. The owners, you know, sometimes they can be a little too pushy, but I think both sides need to give a little more leeway in this.
Oh, for sure. And I was thinking the same thing too, because I mean, like, from a business perspective, I get it. If you're an owner, you want to save as much money as possible. You want to get as much money as possible. But if you're a player, you obviously want as much money as possible. So if both sides can just kind of reach an agreement and just kind of settle for something, because it's not like it's just going to be forever. It's only going to be for this season.
Right.
So, alrighty. So that's all the stories that I got. So, Neil, how about you?
Well, I got two stories, one involving NASCAR and one involving ACC football. But first, Cody, I got to get on my soapbox.
Uh-huh.
And for this little short segment, I have an actual soapbox here, okay? So I'm going to put it right up under my chin because I'm on my soapbox right now. All right? I got to talk about the Los Angeles Rams one more time. And just for y'all that are listening, this is not an anti-Rams podcast at all. Right, Cody?
Oh, no. I don't think this is an anti-Rams podcast at all. I just think that the Rams just do very weird and dumb things that we can just talk about.
Yeah, so we picked on the logo last week, you know, which everybody's picked on the logo. I've got to get on whoever designed those uniforms real quick.
And
this isn't going to take long. I just got to say what I got to say. The home uniforms, not bad, okay? Not bad. The modern twist on the throwbacks. They kind of look like a giant IKEA advertisement. I'll say that, but not bad. Those away uniforms?
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. They look like your Uncle Ricky's tighty-whities that he, you know, doesn't want to get rid of. Off-white. They said they're bone color. I guess it's supposed to be like the antlers or whatever.
That didn't really make any sense to me.
No, and, you know, I know they make uniforms that represent different things, right? That's all about, you know, what does this uniform represent? They said the home uniform represents the heritage of the Rams. I get that. It said the away uniform, it represents the city. What's it represent? The city smog? I don't know what it is.
I don't know, man.
But, you know, I got to get off my soapbox. I took it down. We're off the soapbox. Let's get into some actual stories.
All right.
We had some live sports this weekend.
Yes, we did. Now, for the first time in who knows how long.
We had some golf. I didn't really understand the game going on. I know it was skins. I haven't played enough, you know, skins games because I don't like losing money on golf because I'm not that good at golf. I would lose a lot of money if I did that.
Oh, yeah.
But I watched NASCAR. I watched the race in Darlington. And they have, by the time this podcast comes out, hopefully they'll have another race done. They're supposed to race on Wednesday night, too. But
oh, nice.
If y'all are around this area, it's pretty bad weather right now. It's going to be pretty wet for the next few days. I don't know if they'll get a race in tomorrow night. But hopefully they will. But we had a race this past
weekend. Yes, we did. First live sports in forever, man.
We did. And there was no fans there. Looked a little odd. You know, looked like they were just practicing. But it was awesome to see. And Kevin Harvick, actually, he won the race this weekend. And
yeah,
I wouldn't say Harvick is my favorite NASCAR driver, but I do cheer for the Ford cars. I'm just particular to the Blue Oval. And if there's a Ford winning, that's fine with me, man. But it was exciting to see NASCAR back. I'll tell you what, Jimmy Johnson was in the lead there for a little bit. I don't know if you watched the race.
I did not. I was watching episodes of The Last Dance.
So you were catching up on Last Dance.
Yeah.
I still got to watch the last two. But I was eating up the NASCAR, man. I watched it from beginning to almost to the end. We had to get Graham down for bedtime. But it was a great race. Jimmy Johnson, you know, he's been around for a while. He's a NASCAR legend.
Oh, yeah.
He was in first place for a while up there at the end of the first session. And he wrecked right before they stopped for that segment. And so he wrecked. He finished, I think, 37th or 38th. His car was way better than 37th or 38th. He could have won that race. And I'll go ahead and say, I think tomorrow night, put it down. Jimmy Johnson's going to win the race tomorrow night.
Really?
I really put it down right now?
If they
tune that car the exact same way, because with these races right now, there's no time for qualifying, no time for practice.
They're
going straight into it. If he can race the exact same way, and with it being such a quick turnaround from Sunday to Wednesday, I think he can win this race.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Absolutely. And I just want to touch on NASCAR real quick. I've grown up a NASCAR fan here and there. I never really had a favorite driver. When I was a kid, I liked Jeff Gordon just because his car looked cool.
Absolutely.
DuPont car. He had all the colors, the flames, and all that. I thought that was pretty cool. But I had to throw that in there real quick. The main story I want to get to today involves some ACC football.
ACC football.
So when you think ACC football, you think Clemson, which is good because they are, you know, the cream of the crop in the ACC. So basically the big discussion in ACC football this season is who's going to play Clemson in the conference championship.
Yes.
So, you know.
Because last year it was Virginia.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Virginia last year. And, you know, Clemson's in the Atlantic Division, so this is like the up toss for the Coastal Division in the ACC. And there's two teams that I have on my radar to win the Coastal Division to ultimately go and play Clemson and in the conference championship in Charlotte.
Okay.
All right. First off, I got a Virginia Tech Hokies.
And then
I got the North Carolina Tar Heels. All right.
UNC.
I do have UNC. That might be a surprise to you, but it's not a surprise to a lot of people. They're even preseason ranked at number 18 this year, which is big time for North Carolina.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I got Virginia Tech and North Carolina, and a little wild card that may go in and kind of mess things up is University of Miami, the Hurricanes.
Oh, the Hurricanes.
Yeah, but going back to the other two teams I said, Virginia Tech and North Carolina, I think when they play each other, that will be for that division championship when North Carolina and Virginia Tech play each other. And just talking about Virginia Tech, you know, a lot of people said the 2019 season was disappointing. It was only disappointing because of the way it ended. The Hokies finished 8-5, but that's kind of misleading, okay? After they got off to a 2-2 start, they went on to win 6 of their next 7 games. They went on a huge run there for a little bit. And then the lone loss during that was on the road against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame finished 11-2 that year.
Okay, so that one loss was against a really good team.
Yeah, that one loss was against a really good team, and they kind of fell off at the end, but they started so strong. And they you know, they have a lot of players returning. Another point about them, you know, Hendon Hooker was a catalyst for this turnaround. And just another point, the Hokies have one of the best pass defenses in the country. And when you match up against North Carolina, who we'll get to in just a second, you need a good pass defense because of Sam Howell. Okay.
Yeah.
So getting over to North Carolina, like I said, they're preseason number 18. And, you know, I'm leaving by his side. I'm a Tar Heel fan, and I hope they do well. But I really do think they actually have a chance to get to the ACC championship this year.
Well, okay, to your point about North Carolina, they did have that one game against Clemson last year where they almost won.
Right.
They almost tied the game up, and they went for two and didn't get it
right
at the end of the game. But the fact that they competed that closely with Clemson, if they can replicate that kind of play next year against Clemson, it'll be a pretty good matchup if they make it.
And this isn't just me saying, you know, Carolina has a shot at the ACC title game. No, this is CBS Sports saying it too. So you can look up anybody that says, you know, doesn't agree with me. You can look it up too. We're all entitled to our opinion. I was just really excited to see that, you know, the Tar Heels are in the toss-up for that division championship. You know, they did lose to Clemson. They played them really tough, and that was a big drawback for Clemson last year was, well, they almost lost North Carolina.
Right.
And, you know, and after that game, the Tar Heels didn't play great at all.
No.
But they finished strong. They went on to play Temple in the Military Bowl. You remember that score? 55-13.
Yeah,
they
that
whooped
was a
them. Speaking, Sam Howell, shout out, hometown, Union County, let's go, former Sun Valley Spartan. But his sophomore season, it's going to be something fun to watch.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he had a chance of going to Florida State. He was originally committed to Florida State to go play down there and then changed it almost at the last second to come play with Mack Brown in Chapel Hill. Speaking of who's back, you know, I already said Sam Howell. The entire wide receiver unit's coming back. The scary part about North Carolina's offense is that it returns practically all of its receiving production from 2019. Daz Newsome, De'Ami Brown, each eclipsed 1,000 yards receiving and combined for 22 touchdowns last year.
Wow.
Another guy coming back is Chaz Surratt. You know, that was a big story last year for the Tar Heels because Chaz Surratt was a quarterback for the Tar Heels his freshman year, and
right,
he moved to linebacker, and he played out of his mind last year. He looked so much more comfortable on there. And some fresh faces we got. We got some fresh faces on the D-line. We got Josh Downs coming in as a freshman at wide receiver. And, you know, there's some big games coming up for the Tar Heels. They got UCF week one. That's a big game because UCF used to be a lookover team.
Oh, yeah.
They're really at the top of their game right now.
Ever since they had that big undefeated season 2017?
I believe that's right.
Yeah, 2017, they've been a team to always kind of keep your eyes on,
yep,
on schedule.
So week one, UCF. Week two, they got Auburn. Okay.
Ooh,
so
wow,
those are two back-to-back really prove-it games that really will determine if they have a shot at this division championship. Going on, the biggest game, like I said before, week six versus Virginia Tech in Chapel Hill on October 10th. This will be a key battle in the ACC Coastal race, okay? Whoever wins this will more likely be playing Clemson than Charlotte come conference championship time. All right, and as we wrap up the weekly score for this week, you know, something came to mind as I was getting some notes together. You know, there's not much live sports on. I know we had NASCAR and golf this past weekend, but without much live sports on, it had to be reminiscing on like some of my favorite moments I've seen in person at sporting events.
Oh man!
And you know, I have several. I narrowed it down to three. But first, Cody, I want to hear what some of your favorites are.
Sure, man. So I actually have a couple.
Okay.
I have one that's like by far my favorite, but I'll talk about the ones that were obviously still really good.
Okay.
The first NFL football game I ever went to was the last game of the 2015-16 NFL regular season. It was at the Carolina Panthers and Tampa Bay Bucks. It was the last week of the regular season.
Sweet.
The season that they went to Super Bowl 50.
Yeah.
It was the last week. It was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. And the Panthers just totally beat down on the Bucks. And that was my first ever NFL game. It was a lot of fun. I think there was a pick six in there. Cam had a great game. And it was just overall a lot of fun to watch. And that was my first NFL game, so obviously that really stood out.
I remember that
out.
Game. That was a good bounce back game because they lost the week before that. You know, they finished
15-1. To Atlanta, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. To Atlanta. And then my favorite sports moment of all time was when I went to a Washington Nationals baseball game. In 2017, me and my parents went on a vacation to Washington, D.C. for a few days. We had all never been before, so it was a lot of fun. And on the last day of our vacation, we wanted to go see a Washington Nationals baseball game.
Yeah.
So it was a really cool experience, obviously, because it was only my second MLB game I went to. First Washington Nationals game, obviously. The Nationals hit 8 home runs in the game. They hit 4 home runs in a row.
Wow.
And they hit 5 in one inning. They hit 8 total for the game, and the other team, the Milwaukee Brewers, hit 2.
Were they throwing underhanded to them?
I don't know, man, but it was just an absolute offensive slugfest. It was so much fun to watch. I mean, it was just fun to watch because, like, people all around you that you, like, don't even know, you're, like, high-fiving just because, you know, this is what you do. So it was just a lot of fun. So that was by far my favorite sports moment because there's not that many, like, games in general that are like that for baseball. And for me to go see that in person was just a lot of fun.
That's cool, man.
All right, so how about yours, man?
All right, so I got 3. One of them's more sports entertainment, but we'll get there in a little bit. But 2 really came to mind when it comes to the world of sports. The first one is my first NFL game. It was in 2003. Cody, how old were you in 2003?
I was 1.
You were 1. Oh, my goodness. I'm in here with a child. 2003, okay? My first ever NFL game that I can remember. I may have been with one, you know, when I was younger, but I vividly remember this game. This was the other year that the Panthers went to the Super Bowl to play the Patriots. You remember that? Super Bowl 38, which, you know, you were 1 or 2.
I was 1 or 2, but I've seen, like, the
right
film.
But we went and watched them play Tampa Bay Bucks. That's when they had Warren Sapp. That was the Bucks had just got off of their Super Bowl
championship
the year before. And, man, I went with my dad, my grandpa, and one of my grandpa's buddies, and that was such an electric atmosphere. I remember watching Mike Minner get a pick six and taking it to the house, and, like, that place just erupted, and you could just feel, you know, the energy. You know, you hear how loud a stadium is on TV, but you can just feel that vibration.
Oh, yeah.
When it's a hype crowd, and they're just all into it. So that was a great experience. I remember the Panthers taking out a big lead, and then all of a sudden the Bucks came out of nowhere, and we thought that we were going to lose. And then all of a sudden Jake DeLone threw a 3-yard slant to Steve Smith and scored a touchdown, and, man, that place was rocking. I still remember every detail of that day. Another one is going down to Atlanta to watch a Braves game. We went down, me and my parents and my buddy Scott, we went down and watched the Braves. And we watched Chipper Jones hit a walk-off.
Really?
Yeah, and it wasn't a home run. It was a walk-off single, but it was still really awesome to see.
Now, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Chipper's second to last season. It was still at Turner Field, which I love Turner Field. I hadn't been to SunTrust Park yet. I know I'll love that when we get to go down there, but it was still at Turner Field. And, you know, just doing the tomahawk chop, watching Chipper just hit that and that place going crazy. And I looked right at my buddy Scott and I said, we're going to remember this forever.
Oh, know? Yeah.
Because, I mean, I grew up loving Chipper Jones. Chipper Jones still is my favorite player. When I played Little League Baseball, I put Chipper on my helmet. And Chipper Jones, you know.
Chipper Neal?
Yeah, Chipper Neal. But, you know, that's something that I'll remember forever. And my last one, I just had to throw it in there. Used to, my dad sold hoist to this company called Bandit Lights, and they're the people that run the light fixtures at wrestling shows, at WWE shows.
Oh, really?
And okay. So as a surprise, Dad was able to get free tickets because, you know, the connection with that. So
right.
We got to go to a live taping of the Monday Night Wrestling show, and I thought that was cool because I was out late on a Monday night. You know, it was a school night and things like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever watched wrestling or seen any of it, but Ric Flair came out.
Oh, man.
Ric Flair came out.
Woo!
His music hit, And you'd have thought Elvis walked in the building, man.
Oh, man, everybody's going nuts.
He hit an awesome promo. He had to wrestle that night to keep his career alive, you know, things like that.
Right.
And, you know, everybody was just so into it and wooing here and there, and that was just awesome. That's something that'll stay with me forever, too, just seeing, you know, Ric Flair walk out into a wrestling ring.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man.
That was pretty cool. And we were sitting right there, right where the cameras are, so we had a perfect view of it and everything. And, you know, if you think that those pyrotechnics are loud on TV, oh, my goodness.
You
can feel the heat off of them inside the arena.
Well, you just heard from us what our favorite in-person sports moments were, but we would like to hear what yours are, too. So, Neil, is there a way they can do that?
Absolutely, yeah. So we would love for y'all to connect with us, and we'll mention some of them on the show next week, too. What are some of your favorite sports moments that you've seen in person? It can be, you know, any kind of sport. It doesn't have to be professional. It can be college. It can be high school. It can be whatever you want it to be. If you had a really great moment on a putt-putt course in North Myrtle Beach, tell us about it. We want to hear your favorite sport moment in person. But you can get up with us via email, reverentbabble@gmail.com. You can get up with us on Twitter @reverentbabble. That's the podcast Twitter. And then you can get up with us on our personal Twitters. I'm @NeilHuntley, and Cody is @CKRedSox72.
I changed it.
He changed it.
He
doesn't have Morse code at the end of his Twitter handle anymore. That's the same as his Instagram handle, too, by the way. But reach out to us on there, on all those platforms. Let us know what your favorite moment in person was in the world of sports. We'd love to hear those and love to talk about them next week.
Oh, for sure. We would definitely want to hear them.
Yeah, so that's our show. We'd love to hear back from y'all. Cody, what was that thing that they can leave voice messages on, too?
Well, if you go on anchor.fm/reverentbabble, there is a spot where you can leave us voice messages, and you can leave us feedback on voice messages, and we can put those in the show.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to, you know, if you want to join our great voices on here, if you got a good radio voice, podcast voice, too, and you want it on here, you know, send us some voice messages. We'll throw you on here, too. But get up with us on there, on our email, on Twitter. Any of those will be great. And let us know how you think about us. Leave us a 5-star review if you really enjoy us. So if you're on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify. And we're on several other platforms as well. But that's our show. Y'all have a great week. And we'll see y'all next time. Bye.